SRN.
1690 AM Riverside, Iowa, and around the world on the Stardust Radio Network. www.stardustradio.com.
Are you looking for an internet radio station with a unique blend of talk radio and an eclectic musical flavor? Join Stardust Radio today at www.stardustradio.com, where talent and technology meet.
Climate change could affect our way of life. Reduce your greenhouse gas emissions and help control climate change. Visit www.vcr-mvr.ca. Brought to you by the Voluntary Challenge and Registry, Climate Change Central, and this radio station.
If you're one of the millions of Americans that suffers from acne or knows a friend or a loved one suffering, please turn up your radio and take down this life-changing information. Introducing Epiclear, the revolutionary new advanced skin treatment imported from Europe, formulated to help get rid of pimples and prevent further breakouts. Great for all ages and most skin irritations, Epiclear is doing something that no other acne treatment formula has ever done. Ever. We're so confident that Epiclear will clear up your skin that we're willing to let you try it for free. That's right, you heard free, and we mean free. Over a $70 value delivered without a prescription right to your house.
Call now while free supplies last at 1-800-656-5993. Nothing to risk and everything to gain. Call Epiclear at 1-800-656-5993. That was 1-800-656-5993. Limit one order per household, please. Call 1-800-656-5993. Shipping and handling not included.
Climate change could affect our way of life. Reduce your greenhouse gas emissions and help control climate change. Visit www.vcr-mvr.ca. Brought to you by the Voluntary Challenge and Registry, Climate Change Central, and this radio station.
And now live from Riverside, Iowa, the future birthplace of Captain James T. Kirk of the USS Enterprise. Another episode of Wake Up USA, a UFO study. Your host this evening, Joe Montaldo.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Wake Up USA, a UFO study, a Stardust Radio production, now being broadcasted live in SRN 1690, Riverside, Iowa. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Joe Montaldo, and tonight's guest is going to be Dr. Richard Boylan. Also, Dee Andrews will be doing the news in a few minutes, but a couple of things I wanted to go over right quick before I hand it over to Dee. You know, I was talking with some friends of mine out of New York just recently, and this is really for our friends up there in New York. In the last 30 days, I have had close to 7 reports dealing with people. Basically, they're having these weird dreams. Well, some people call them visions. There's a lot of things you can call them, but basically what they're having is these, I like to call them missing baby dreams, because they have this dream of having this child, seeing this child, even partially raising this child, and still not actually have a physical child, but basically have most of the symptoms of having the child, including hormone imbalances and a few other things. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I thought it was odd. It's not the first time we've heard things like this, but I did think it was odd. Since Saturday, I've gotten 4 reports out of the West Coast basically saying the same thing. These reports I find interesting for a couple of reasons, actually. Mainly, you know, these actually help us understand better what kind of contact experiences people are having. It also helps us understand better where they are in their contact experiences. In other words, usually dreams like this are not going to come from women, say, in their late 30s, early 40s. You're not going to usually get these kind of reports. You're usually going to get these reports from women in their mid-20s to early 30s. And this is something we had found out years ago, and recently, thanks to this new influx of information that came in the organization this month, it's still true to nature. It's still, these reports are happening in this group. But the main reason I bring it up is because I want anybody in between these two areas that have had a dream like this to contact me at iCarCox.net. We track all of this stuff. It just helps us to really understand each individual case better and where each individual case is and why for some people this dream happens at 25 or 22 and why this dream happens at 32 for other people. And these are the things we're looking for. I just wanted to mention that, just a quick side note. On that note, I'm going to hand y'all over to Dee Andrews with the news. Dee, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Joe.
It's all yours, Dee.
Thank you, Joe.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening. I have a few tidbits of news. I'd like to start off with some interesting information I found about the old Kinross case from November of 1953, an underwater salvage and exploration company called the Great Lakes Dive Company. I think they have found the old F-89 Scorpion fighter jet that was lost over Lake Superior in the 50s. This is a famous case in ufology called the Kinross case from the Air Force Base where the plane flew from. As the plane apparently hit another object that was being tracked on radar, then disappeared. The mystery object has never been identified, and both the Canadian and U.S. authorities say they have no other missing aircraft. They found what looks like the remains of the plane, still fairly intact, in deep water, using side-scan sonar. They have also found a nearby mystery object, which has not been identified yet, and they are holding out on more details there as they work out recovery details with the government. They can't say if it is the original object the plane hit or not, but it seems probable given the other details they have released. The history and the mythology of the Kinross case began on November 23, 1953, when a U.S. Air Force F-89C jet fighter was scrambled from the Kinross Air Force Base in Michigan. The plane known as the Scorpion was sent out on an active air defense mission to intercept an unknown object. Speculation as to the identity of the object has been the subject of debate for over 50 years. You can visit the Great Lakes Dive Company's website and get more detail on the finding of this aircraft at www.greatlakesdive.com. The Air Force Chief wishes to test weapons on testy U.S. mobs. Non-lethal weapons, such as high-power microwave devices, should be used on American citizens in crowd control situations before being used on the battlefield, the Air Force Secretary said Tuesday. The object is basically a public relations. Domestic use would make it easier to avoid questions from others about possible safety considerations, said Secretary Michael Wayne. If we are not willing to use it here against our fellow citizens, then we should not be willing to use it in a wartime situation, said Wayne, because if I hit somebody with a non-lethal weapon and they claim that it injured them in a way that was not intended, I think that I would be vilified in the world press. The Air Force has paid for research into non-lethal weapons, but he said the service is unlikely to spend more money on development until injury problems are reviewed by medical experts and resolved. Non-lethal weapons generally can weaken people if they are hit with the beam. Some of the weapons can emit short, intense energy pulses that also can be effective in disabling some electronic devices. I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd want them testing it on me. Russia and China could sign a moon exploration pact in 2006. Russia and China may conclude a moon exploration agreement by the end of the year, the head of the Russian Space Agency said. China has already successfully launched into orbit two manned space vehicles. Its first manned flight 3 years ago made it the third country to launch a human being into space on its own after Russia and the U.S. I can say that as a result of the Russian-Chinese Space Subcommission work, our priority is a joint program on moon exploration, Anatoly Firminov said. A number of contracts have been signed involving both Russia and Chinese enterprises. We are currently working on the moon as partners, and we have concluded that Russia and China have moved beyond their previous relationship, where China was the buyer and we, Russia, were the seller, Firminov said. Plus some of those Russian names, I get tangled tongues. He also said he received an invitation to visit leading air and space enterprises in Shanghai. China is now a leading space power. Right now, only three countries explore space intensively, namely Russia, the United States, and China. Firminov said the Russian-Chinese Space Exploration Commission will hold a concluding session in Beijing by the end of 2006 and that the Russian delegation will be led by Prime Minister Mikhail Fedkov. And for our friends in the southern hemisphere, meteor causes a panic in New Zealand. Meteor streaked across a large swath of New Zealand, South Island Tuesday, creating a sonic boom which sent people running from their workplaces and homes. Witnesses said the loud boom was heard over northern and central parts of the South Island, shaking buildings and rattling windows. Reports said Kevin Graham was working in his garage workshop southwest of the city of Christchurch when he heard the boom. He spoke to his wife in Christchurch, who had run outside because she thought the building she was in was going to collapse. "I ran outside because I thought my place was going to collapse as well," he said. Matthew Miller, who was working outdoors at Ashburn, south of Christchurch, said he saw a fireball streak across the sky, although he did not hear the sonic boom reported by witnesses in areas further north. "There was this really bright comet shooting across the sky," Miller told state radio. "I saw it for about a second. It was traveling so fast and covered so much ground." All reports suggested it was a pretty standard meteor, but large and low. Let's see. NASA, Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter reaches planned flight path. NASA's newest spacecraft at Mars has completed the challenging half-year task of shaping its orbit to the nearly circular low-altitude platform with which it will scrutinize the planet. The Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter fired its 6 intermediate-sized thrusters for 12.5 minutes Monday afternoon, September 11th, shifting the low point of its orbit to stay near the Martian South Pole and the high point to stay near the North Pole. The altitude of the orbit ranges from 250 kilometers, or 155 miles, to 316 kilometers, 196 miles above the surface. Switch papers here. Okay, a potential for alien oceans. More than one-third of the giant planet systems recently detected outside Earth's solar system may harbor Earth-like planets, many covered in deep oceans with potential for life, according to a new study led by the University of Colorado at Boulder and Pennsylvania State University. The study focuses on a type of planetary system unlike our solar system that contains gas giants known as hot Jupiters orbiting extremely close to their parent stars, even closer than Mercury to our sun, says GU Boulder researcher Sean Raymond. Such gas giants are believed to have migrated inward toward their parent stars as the planetary systems were forming, disturbing the space environment and triggering the formation of ocean-covered, Earth-like planets in a habitable zone, conducive to the evolution of life, according to the new study. And that's all I have.
Okay, well, so I was enjoying it. You know, I always liked the news. But I was listening to D.D. when you were talking about the Russians and the Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, while I'm on the subject and before Jeff brings the guest on, don't y'all think before we go back to the moon that we should have some kind of coherent working program so that the problems on Earth, like with the Americans, the Russians, and the Chinese, don't transcend to the lunar surface? Because from what I'm getting now is I know the Russians want to go back to the moon, I know the Chinese want to go to the moon, and I know the Americans are going back to the moon. So here we're going to have the three world powers on the moon at the same time. You know, that's a mixture for disaster there is what that is. It's just not a good thing. I mean, we should really have some kind of more coherent plan. Lunar colonies should be built by everyone, not just the Americans, not the Russians, not the Chinese, but by everyone. Everyone should participate, everyone should be invited, and everyone should be able to stay there. Anything less than that is asking to take the problems from Earth and transcend them to space. The idea is to leave the problems at home and move forward into space and try to establish a new working relationship with everyone. I mean, it's not going to do any good to go to the moon if everybody hates each other down here and we take all those problems to the moon, because then we're going to be splitting it up and dividing it up, and then we're going to start fighting over who owns what part of the moon and who has the light side of the moon, who has the dark side of the moon. It's just a recipe for disaster is what it is. And for people not to think of it any other way is just fooling themselves. You know, as a society, we have to start to learn to cooperate together, to start having tolerance of each other's religions, each other's beliefs. We're going to have to do it, especially if we're going to start exploring space, because when, you know, you're a half a million miles from Earth or a million miles from Earth and the Chinese decide to invade, there ain't nothing to stop them, is there? Or vice versa, for that matter. So I really think we need to work these problems out before we go to the moon. The Americans, the Russians, the Chinese, the Brits, the Japanese, they should all sit down and come to some coherent plan on this. Because sooner or later, if we're all going back and forth to the moon, there's going to be an accident, and it's going to start a war. Because somebody's going to run into somebody, or something's going to hit somebody, or so on and so forth. It's one of those things that bugs me. You know, I know I've been on this kick lately about world peace, or world, referring to ourselves as Terrans, not as Americans and Russians and so on. We really, it doesn't matter what country you come from. It really doesn't matter. You are a human from planet Earth. You're one person in a species of 6 billion, okay? Now, when someone comes and visits this planet, they don't care if you're Russian or American. They don't care if you're black or white. They don't. It does not make a difference to them whatsoever, and it should not make a difference to us. But on that note, Jess informed us that the guest is in the queue, so Dr. Boylan, can you hear me? Nice to have you back on the show. Been a while since I talked to you. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Richard Boylan, how you been lately before we get started? Busy?
Very fine, Joe. I'm doing all right.
Staying busy, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Good. I know how it is. I was just giving you a hard time because everybody I talk to lately has usually got work up to their eyeballs in one shape, form, or fashion or another. I know the audience is familiar with you, but just for, you know, just the way we do it, why don't you tell them who you are, how you got started in this, and then we'll start the interview from there.
Very good. Well, I used to be a mild-mannered therapist, psychologist, and clinical social worker over 3 decades of working with rather regular kind of cases. And then in 1989, I started to have something new happen. That was the first year that a tiny trickle of folks started to come in to deal with not just depression or anxiety, but the fact that they had had an encounter with a person out of this world. This intrigued me, so I certainly heard them out and analyzed what they had to say and their state of mind and determined they were of sound mind and that these were not hallucinations or delusions. And got intrigued. So I not only worked with these people, I quietly put out the word that I would be open to other people with this kind of experience to come in and present what they had to say. So that has happened, and I've now talked to pretty close to 500 such people and accumulated quite a bit of research findings, if you will, information and data, and it's led me to other related areas of interest and as well. So since that time, which is now getting to be about 17 years, I've been more and more working in this field to a point now where it is my exclusive focus. I've also noticed a pattern that kind of fits something I want to talk about a fair amount today, and that is I noticed that when these folks got visited, later on the ones that went on to have children had rather advanced children, strikingly so, very much brighter, faster growing up, kind of cosmic-minded, older than their years, and endowed with double handfuls of psychic abilities. And I figured, this is interesting. I bet this isn't a coincidence. So I researched this as well and discovered that there is a wave of star kids coming in that are transforming the human population. And I think we can see where society is headed in the years ahead as these folks become grow up and become the majority. So that's kind of bringing you up to date and where my work is at current.
I actually try to keep up on I shouldn't say everybody's work, but a select group of ufologists, I'll say I like to keep up on their work. Not that I agree with everything they say. I do agree with a lot of it, but it's just better to keep up what's going on. You know, I was listening to you talk about the Star Kids, and that's always a good place to start. And I agree wholeheartedly that there seems to be, well, it seems to be every generation, really. If, it depends how far you want to go back, but I'll say, we'll say we had an adult contactee from 1950. They had children. Their child seems to be brighter, smarter, faster, more mature, and seems to be, well, I should say their psychic abilities seem to be slightly stronger than their parents. And then I noticed, as we progress forward, say another 2-3 decades, these children today, and maybe child's not always the best word, because some of these children would be in their 20s even, but
no.
Their psychic ability seems to be, on average, quite a bit stronger than, say, their grandparents or great-grandparents. Is that the same thing you're running into, Richard?
Absolutely, and not only stronger, but in many more fields. You know, in the past, we certainly have had folks that, maybe were a little clairvoyant, could see into the future a little bit, or maybe could kind of read the mind of somebody across the room and know what they're thinking about. But those are just kind of single abilities. These kids would have 10, 20 of more of these abilities. I've developed a questionnaire, the Star Kids Star Seed Identification Questionnaire. And if your listeners are interested in taking it or for themselves or their kid, it can be found on my website at drboylan.com, drboylan.com. There are 54 items in there, and you just answer yes or no. Either that's true for you or it isn't true for you, and then add them up. And it's very straightforward. I've had people as high as 50 out of 54. Of these abilities, so we're definitely not talking with the same old crowd of as the last generation.
Oh, I agree. It's it is interesting to see how these abilities. You know, I tell people all the time when I'm doing interviews, they ask me stuff like, "What's one of the things you look for in contactees or abductees?" I said, "Well, I've never met a contactee or abductee that wasn't empathic. All of them seem to be empathic. I mean, it ranges in the different groups, but." I've never met any that weren't empathic. Now, some of them are much much better empaths than others. But empathic is a very root ability. You know, this is really just feeling or sending emotions. This isn't really, you know, this isn't like being clairvoyant or telepathic or even have telekinesis. You know, those are kind of harder abilities to develop. But what I have personally been seeing, or I should say the organization's been seeing, is that we're starting to see contactees developing all of these abilities. Now, some of them are very basic. You know, they can barely use them. Some of the people are more advanced at using them. Now, I don't know if this is true for you or not, but it seems like telekinesis seems to be the hardest one so far for everyone to develop. But I'll let you answer that. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, at first blush, I would tend to agree with you. It seems pretty awesome to just sit there in a chair and make something across the room move on its own. But this is an ability that admits of stages. You know, the people who like Yoda in Star Wars movies can pick up a whole starcraft and suspend it in the air by mental thought. You know, those kind of folks are pretty rare. But the people who can influence something on their computer screen or when they're playing... Pinjuku, that kind of pinball game, or even in bowling, can kind of mentally influence something like a rolling ball to slightly deviate course from where it was going. These are not so uncommon. So I think, what shall we say, lightweight telekinesis is not a rarity. The kind of industrial strength telekinesis that you saw in the Star Wars movies, that is still, I would agree, a rarity.
Yeah. Well, I know that now, I know with some people, as far as them sending things or projecting things, a lot of them seem to do that quite well. I know a lot of the contactees I meet can image very well. They can put an image in your head pretty quickly and pretty coherently. A lot of them can receive quite well. I know, you know, it's one of the things we started doing about 10, 12 years ago is we started testing contactees and abductees for psychic abilities. And sometimes it'll be a paper test, sometimes it'll be a verbal test. It just depends on where we're at the time and what we're trying to achieve. But the psychic, well, I don't want to say psychic, but the telepaths, they just seem to be sprouting more now, or maybe blooming might be a better word. Like I said, I've always felt that all of them were empathic, but it does seem to be that you're seeing a general blooming in telepathic abilities, especially amongst the younger star children. I've even seen it in some of the older ones, but it's weird because I think sometimes they don't quite understand what it is they're developing. Because they start getting confused about things they're seeing or hearing. And I have noticed that some of them, and I don't know if you've run into this or not, Richard, but that some of them seem to, they'll pick up, like they'll be in a crowd of people, and all of a sudden they'll get really sad or really happy. It's like they're picking up on someone else, but they don't actually realize it. They're like overlaying it onto their own feelings. Have you run into that?
Well, yeah, on the less experienced ones, although I think some of that may be empathy and not...
Some of it is.
You know, thought reading, but... as they get more experience, and, you know, it's one of the things we teach in workshop is to distinguish what's yours and what's somebody else's, because I think one of the reasons telepathy is growing by leaps and bounds in this star kid population is because the mental field, you know, the kind of pool of common thoughts everybody's thinking that's out there floating in the... astral level, if you will, that psychics and star kids can tap into is growing because there are so many more people practicing it now, and therefore there's a lot more opportunity for these kids to get good at it because there's, you know, so much to exercise with. Also, I think the computer is helping in this way. A lot of young kids are doing instant mail and real-time communicating from their computer to their friend's computer. And what they're discovering is that they already know what the incoming message is before it shows up on their screen, but the computer is sort of like training wheels that gets them into a certain flow with the person they're communicating with, and then the telepathy kind of takes over, and they soon find themselves waiting for the darn computer to hurry up and catch up with the...
Well, you know, it's interesting you brought that up, Richard, because something we started testing a while back, and now I don't know if y'all mess with this or not, but the thing of it is we've noticed that telepathic abilities seem to be enhanced on the Internet. And I don't know if it's because people are putting on headsets and plugging in their computers and putting their laptop on their lap and their hands on the keyboard and they got their headset hooked up. So, you know, you're almost virtually part of your computer when you're using it. But I have found, in general, especially when we're doing online testing, that the online students seem to be producing more than the offline students do. And at first I thought maybe it was a coincidence, but now it's been a couple of years, and it still seems like it's almost like it's enhancing. It's almost like they're putting themselves into the bandwidth itself, and it's going out and coming back. I don't know how else to explain it, but... It really does seem like it's enhancing, and I wanted to ask you that since you had brought that up.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. In fact, even the star visitors use computers for communicating at times, making a point, kind of adding a little something to what you'd written. I've had that happen to me. I think what's going on here is that, you know, we know that computers may look hard, like a steel box, you know, with a wire coming out of it, but a lot of the what's going on in there that matters at all are electrical fields interacting with each other very swiftly. And that's a realm, you talk about telekinesis, the ability to modulate and make little changes in electrical and magnetic fields by focused intention is, that's one of the easiest places to make an impact with telekinesis. So there's a bit of that going on. Also, you know, when you think about artificial intelligence, there are now computers that are deliberately built to do some kinds of what we might call thinking. They take information and build on past experience and figure out what the most likely next step or answer is going to be. And after a while, they start doing problem solving without being told to do it. I think the interface between telepathic star kids working a computer and a sophisticated computer, that after a while, I think that the kind of flow between the thought forms coming out of the star kid and the electrical fields that the computer operates with start to interact with each other in ways that kind of blend.
You know, that actually makes sense, because it does all seem like it does blend together. Now, we're getting close to the break on me. I wanted to ask you about batch lots and things like that, but I'll wait till we come back from the break. I know we're getting real close. The thing about it is I'll kind of give you a little hint on this, so when we come back to break, you know what I'm talking about. But I started finding out, and maybe it's in age groups, but there seems to be lots, like lot A, lot B, lot 26D, lot/C. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we got to take a break, so I want everyone to please stay tuned to Wake Up USA, a UFO study, a Stardust Radio production, now being broadcasted live in SRN 1690, Riverside, Iowa. I'm your host, Joe Montalva. I'm sitting and speaking with Dr. Richard Boylan, and as soon as we return, we'll start taking some questions, so please stay tuned.
SRN
1690, AM, Riverside, Iowa, and around the world on the Stardust Radio Network. www.stardustradio.com.
Are you looking for an internet radio station with a unique blend of talk radio and an eclectic musical flavor? Join Stardust Radio today at www.stardustradio.com, where talent and technology meet.
What's happening? I'll tell you what. Kent Emmons here. How'd you like to spend a weekend in Branson for only $99? That's right. You and your family can now relax in Branson for only $99, or take the honey for a quick romantic getaway any weekend you choose. This amazing vacation offer includes 3 days, 2 nights in a great hotel, breakfast every morning of your stay, preferred show tickets, and hundreds of dollars in coupon savings all around town. You know, Branson, Missouri's got amusement parks, world-class golfing, beautiful lakes, endless shopping, and more live shows than Vegas. So give us a call now at 1-866-338-1410. Branson for $99. It's our way of saying thanks for checking out our beautiful new resort, the Grand Crown. Here's that number again, 1-866-338-1410. Toll free, 1-866-338-1410. Branson for $99.
If you're one of the millions of Americans that suffers from acne or knows a friend or a loved one suffering, please turn up your radio and take down this life-changing information. Introducing Epiclear, the revolutionary new advanced skin treatment imported from Europe, formulated to help get rid of pimples and prevent further breakouts. Great for all ages and most skin irritations, Epiclear is doing something that no other acne treatment formula has ever done. Ever. We're so confident that Epiclear will clear up your skin that we're willing to let you try it for free. That's right, you heard free, and we mean free. Over a $70 value delivered without a prescription right to your house.
Call now while free supplies last at 1-800-656-5993. Nothing to risk and everything to gain. Call Epiclear at 1-800-656-5993. That was 1-800-656-5993. Limit one order per household, please. Call 1-800-656-5993. Shipping and handling not included.
Alexis Parkin, your aviation destination.
You need something grand, something special, something unique. Look no further than the Alexis Parkin of Iowa City. There you'll find 27 supersized suites of all varieties, most with jacuzzis. The Alexis Park Inn is an aviation-themed hotel where your continental breakfast is delivered right to your door, because they're committed to your satisfaction. Give the Alexis Park Inn a call toll-free at 888-9-ALEXIS or check out alexisparkinn.com.
Alexis Park Inn, your aviation destination. Alexis Park Inn.
SRN
1690 AM, Riverside, Iowa, and around the world on the Stardust Radio Network. www.stardustradio.com.
Good evening. Welcome back to Wake Up USA, a UFO study, a Stardust Radio production, now being broadcasted live in SRN 1690, Riverside, Iowa. I'm your host, Joe Montalvo, and I'm sitting and talking with Dr. Richard Boylan. Also, ladies and gentlemen, remember, if you'd like to call us on the toll-free number, you can reach us at 1-877-213-4329. Again, 1-877-213-4329. Also, ladies and gentlemen, if you plan on joining us in the Power Talk Virtual Auditorium, I would do it quickly because the room is filling up fast, and it will probably max out soon. So if you want to get in there, you better get in there soon. Just wanted to let y'all know that. You know, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Boyle and I were talking at the break about several things, so we're going to probably come back in and start talking about some things here. But before we do that, Richard, you know, I was talking about the lot groups and batch groups and stuff, and the reason I brought that up is it's hard to explain. I'll meet, like, a group of contactees, say, somewhere between age 40 and 45. They will have certain similarities in their contacts, but more than that, they seem to be moving and working along the same directions. Also, they seem to have a unique attachment to one another, and it doesn't really matter if they're from California or Australia. They seem to have this tie, this bond. So we started calling them batch group, like batch, you know, Star Children, batch group A1-5, and so on and so forth. And since then, we've noticed that there seems to be several types of these groups around the country and around the world, for that matter. I didn't know if you had ran into that or not.
Well, the phenomenon of people connecting with each other or feeling connected, even though they're technically strangers or just met, is a fairly widespread one among the starseed community. And this seems to be due to several reasons, one of which is that they're all operating on a higher energy signature than the traditional human operates at, and they can kind of feel each other's force field, for lack of a better word, the kind of signature of that force field across a crowded room. I've done some empirical measuring of this with dowsing rods, and it's all very visible and very physical. You can take a pair of dowsing rods and walk with them pointed towards a person, and your regular USDA, regular issue human, the rods will part perpendicularly away from each other at about 12 inches out from the person's body. But with star seeds, they spread out at several yards from the person's body. I think one of the record distances was like somewhere between 50 and 70 feet, but several yards anyway. So we're talking 10 feet, 15 feet for many, if not most, of the star kids. So clearly, you know, the electromagnetic energy, if you want to call it that, that causes these rods to, these metal rods to spread, can certainly be felt by these highly empathic star kids and star seed adults coming off the other person, and just like their field is coming off of them and being detected by the other person. And there's what I would call kind of a subconscious aha that goes on in the brain saying, ah, you're one of us too, huh? You know, and of course that kind of greases the wheels for meeting and greeting and feeling some point of common connection before you even get to start to know the person.
Well, that actually makes sense, though. I mean, that, I don't know, contactees always seem to be broadcasting. And that there really needs to be some new terminology and ufology. While we're on this term, Richard, why don't you do me a favor for the listening audience? I know at least half the audience is familiar because they've heard you talk before, but, you know, we always have new listeners tuning in all the time. And what is a starseed? I mean, for their audience's perspective.
All right, a star kid or a starseed, I use starseed for an adult, but I suppose kids are starseeds too. And these are human individuals who've been transformed. To simplify what could be a lengthy discussion, let's boil it down to two major ways in which these persons are transformed. One of the ways they're transformed is that they are a hybrid, meaning that their parents were visited and some reproductive material was borrowed, and genes from a star visitor were spliced in, and along with the majority human genes that were residing there in the reproductive material, and then was put back in the human, and that person goes on to have a kid, and they look like a perfectly normal human kid, except they're smarter, more advanced, psychic, etc. That's one way star kids, star seed adults happen. The other way is incarnation, meaning a person who, a personality consciousness, being that was a star person in a previous life, incarnation, if you will, this time around decides to incarnate as a human, typically in order to help us humans advance through this very tricky time we're in at present as we make the transition from fourth world to fifth world. Though they incarnate as a human, it seems that they bring along enough of that previous star person intelligence and what we would call psychicness and kind of higher energy and sensitivity that they end up operating on Earth as a human at a much higher level because they bring some of that freight along with them. So these are the two major ways, and some people, of course, are both, but these are the two major ways in which star kids and star seeds happen.
Well, I was going to ask you something about that, but I kind of lost my train of thought. You know what? Do me a favor. Clarify that last part of what you said, because something I must have missed it or didn't sound right to me.
Well, I talked about the hybrid way in which star seeds happen, and then I talked about the incarnational way in which they can happen.
Okay. I just missed. That's what it was. I must have missed when you said incarnational. Okay, sorry about that. I thought you said something entirely different. I'm sorry, Richard. I don't know. Sometimes the hearing across the internet is kind of strange. It was just kind of weird, though. It just sounded different. You know, because people ask me all the time. I mean, there's so many different definitions out there, and then now that, you know, people want to break them down: star seeds, star kids, star children, indigo children. You know, for the average everyday person getting involved with this, it's a bit much for them to deal with. You know, I mean, if you've been doing it as long as we have, it's different because we have a much better understanding of what's going on. But now, let me ask you this. Where do you think, first off, why do you think this is happening, and where do you think this is going with the star seeds?
Well, there's the $64 question. Where it's headed is the transformation of human society. When I first started noticing star kids around 1989, it didn't seem to be so many. Now I realize that as I dealt with hundreds more cases, I've gotten better at looking, but also I think just talking to people and the patterns of the kids they've had, I think that there is an absolute increase in the number of star kids being born in the human population. In fact, I've kind of graphed it out. And I've got some figures for you, if you like. When I get to the punchline, I think you're going to see where this is headed. The star seed, star kid phenomenon started several decades ago. There weren't very many star seeds when I was born and starting to grow up, and I was one, but that was kind of rare. And now you can tell among the senior population, maybe one in eight has a starseed energy signature. Now you get down to the people in the 45 to 60 age bracket, people who were born that long ago. One in five was a starseed. Now you get down to people, young mature adults born 30 to 45 years ago. A little less than half are star seeds. Now get down to the young adults, those who are 19 to 29. Two-thirds of these are star seeds. Now get to the teenagers, 13 to 18 group. 80% of these are star kids. And now infants to 12 years old, the preschool and school age, and grade school age kids, 96% in the research samples I tested were star kids. So what you see is an oncoming wave, and the closer you get to the present, the higher percentage of the total population being born are star kids. At this rate, the human race will only take a couple generations before the previous model dies off, and we're dealing with a virtually 100% star kid, star seed population. Now think of the absolutely transformative aspects of society when everybody going around is telepathic and empathic, and not a few can do psychic healing or foresee an accident and change the path they take. All of these kinds of abilities. As I like to say when I give talks on this, you can imagine buying a used car from a used car salesman when you can mentally read his mind. You aren't going to be able to sell any lemons anymore. That's just kind of lightweight, humorous aspect of this, but it's just one indication of many, many that our society is going to and is starting to undergo a profound transformation. But all the transformation is not in the psychic order either. It would be unfair not to point out the emotional and personal characteristic transformations these kids bring. They are much more compassionate than previous generations. They are much less inclined to violence. They find it abhorrent, most of them. They are concerned for everybody. Bad things that happen halfway around the world are just about as distressing to them as something that happened in their own town. They have much more of what we might consider a Ganda or Buddha-like mind and consciousness. In some of these, this is more developed. In others, it's kind of sitting there latent, and the right circumstances help it come out and develop. But these are powerful, powerful influences, and when you get a whole society loaded up like this, we are headed into amazing times.
It ought to be interesting. Actually, I had a couple of questions for you, but I guess whatever you just said just stacked up the audience. So, Richard, you ready for some questions?
Oh, sure.
I just seen hands just light up, so we're just going to dive right in. Who do we have first here? I see Linda Keeper has her hand up first, so why don't you come... Well, you know what? Hold on yet before we do that. Wait a minute before we go to the audience. One other thing before we go there. You know, I was thinking about what you just said about the children. Now, you know something that bothers me about that, because I do agree with most of it, but there was something I read the other day about drug addiction amongst young kids below the teenage years is on the rise, like 54%. And... you know, when you brought up what you just said, I was thinking in the back of my head, I said, is it because these kids are having difficulty dealing with what's going through their head now? I mean, this is a lot of information for an adolescent to understand, especially when you're talking psychic abilities like we're talking about. So I just wanted to get your take on that right quick.
Well, just because you're a star kid or a starseed adult doesn't turn you into a saint automatically. You still are capable of... feeling temptations and dealing with certain weaknesses. Not a few star kids, especially in adolescence, that time when you're trying to find yourself and your own separate identity and develop some relationships. Many of these kids struggle with feeling different and odd because, you know, you and I joke and talk glibly about this stuff, but out there in the general population, this stuff is unknown, and these kids know it's unknown, and they fear that if they bring it up, they're going to get laughed at. People won't want to play with them or talk to them or associate with them or date them. And so they live in these little invisible closets, at least in their mind, if not socially isolated. And it's easy for them, if they're not careful, to get depressed or try and put a Band-Aid on it, cheer themselves up by maybe a beer too many or whatever. But don't forget also that in the statistics I recited, there's still not 100% star kids coming in the teenage and below. I think those kinds of dysfunctions are a combination of kids that aren't and some of these stressed star kids.
Yeah, well, that's the reason I'm saying that is because over the years, you know, we found that some people deal with this knowing this information quite well. It even seems to transform their lives in ways that you really couldn't understand unless you were a contactee, a star child. But some of them, it seems like, and I don't know, I mean, I'm sure partially it has to do with their upbringing and not understanding what it is that they're going through. But some of them seem to almost want to pull away. Maybe it's too much for them to handle or deal with. I don't know. It just for some reason or another, you see a drastic contrast in some kids versus the others. And the only really thing I can think it could be is, I guess, their actual physical upbringing by their parents. Because I doubt that the information they're picking up either from the extraterrestrials or through psychic means is much different, you know, from the other kids. So the only thing I really think is it must really be a base root problem from the parents, which is probably half the problems on the planet anyway today. But what do you think?
Well, any child psychologist will tell you, and I have served as one, that most of the child and teen problems walking in the door are parent-related. But I think with the star kids having difficulties, we have a special situation that's artificial and frankly unnecessary, and that is the UFO cover-up, which includes the cover-up that there are such things as star kids. But this makes it extra difficult. Contrast with the situation if it were out in the open. If, you know, there are articles in paper about star kids and people saw documentaries on television about them and it was real clear why they're different, how they're different, that it's they have wonderful abilities, feature articles on the contributions this or that star kid made the past week. These kids would blossom. They'd feel positive. They'd have role models. They'd feel like they could walk tall and be out there. But that isn't at all what we've got. What we've got is a scornful, denial, closeted, hostile environment that this stuff is not mentioned in, and if you do, you're branded crazy or worse. So, you know, these kids are in a war zone, a psychologically created war zone by the cabal, the folks behind the cover-up, and these kids are having an extra special tough time growing up and being all they can be because of this cover-up and the society's ignorance and being programmed for scorn of anything different.
Okay, Richard, loaded question for you. Baby Bush, starseed, not starseed.
Who?
G.W. Bush. I call him Baby Bush because of his daddy, but...
Yeah, starseed?
Starseed, not starseed. That's what I was asking. What do you think?
Well, based on the behavioral profile, I would think not.
Yeah. I had to ask because, you know, it is something because... I always hear people love to come on and say GW is an alien, and I'm thinking, no, he's not an alien, no. Let's not give him that much credit. He's a nice guy and all, but he's not an alien. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't want to wait to use the Power Talk Virtual Auditorium, you can reach us at 1-877-213-4329. Again, 1-877-213-4329. We're going to start taking some questions now because I know I've been making y'all wait, ladies and gentlemen, and I know Richard's ready to answer some questions, so... Linda Keeper, I see you got your hand up. You've been patiently waiting, so why don't you give us your first name and location, and you're live on there with Dr. Richard Bowen.
Good afternoon, Dr. Bowen, and thank you for coming to our room tonight. I receive your email every day, and I am very interested in Taliesin. Is that how you pronounce his name? The starship Isabella, the Kabbalah, and the Fifth World. Could you explain to the room a little bit about what's going on? I know many of us in here are interested in this.
Ah, go ahead, Richard.
Oh, yeah. Well, you asked one of the $64 questions of the evening. Well, the star nations have decided to get more active in trying to and the UFO cover-up because the cabal, the organization of geo-plutocrats that think they're running this world with money, wealth, power, prestige, and secret influence have been maintaining this UFO cover-up for over a half century and making themselves more powerful because of it. They've hijacked and stolen and extorted extraterrestrial technology from the government, from crash site retrievals, and from capturing certain star visitors who were guests of the government and torturing them for information. And they've developed extremely advanced technology, and they use it to influence people and get their way. And because all of this is so exotic and advanced, at the same time, they control the newspapers and television, and they make sure that anything that's psychic is woo-woo, and anything that's supposed to be highly advanced is suspect, and they have their little paid band of pet scientists who say this stuff's impossible, therefore it doesn't exist. So that gives them free rein to use this advanced technology for things like mind control purposes. So in this iniquitous, dark, evil environment that these folks have managed to operate the world in, Star Nations has decided enough's enough, and you know, I've been in some communication with them and indicated that this isn't going to self-repair. Humans are tough folks. I think, you know, if you look at Americans in 1776, you can see we're not pushovers. But you need to know that there is an enemy and where they are and why before you can fight them. And the Cabal have made very cleverly made themselves invisible by there is no UFOs, or therefore there's no UFO cover-up, etc. Part of the Star Nation's effort to end the UFO cover-up is to have a designated person fly a Starcraft very low over several major metropolises at different points on Earth, and linger there long enough that it's going to be impossible for anything other than hundreds of people to whip out cameras and video cams and shoot footage of this very low-flying, obviously very exotic Starcraft, and then run down the TV stations and demand that be put on the air for the 6 o'clock news. And if the TV stations don't, then all these hundreds of citizens are going to become very lively aware that there's a huge cover-up going on, and then they're going to go around them on the Internet and to the few little independents that don't have control on them and get it out there anyway. And the UFO cover-up is going to come off. Now, needless to say, the Cabal, the people that brought you the UFO cover-up for the last 50 years, are not particularly enchanted with the idea of this Starman and his Starcraft buzzing over real low and slow over major cities and ending the UFO cover-up. So they've been exerting unbelievable amounts of pressure, attacks, negativity, use of psychotronic, psychic, physical forces, and just about everything you can think of to keep this star person, who is an incarnated star person in a human body, from having the peace of mind and concentration to get himself prepared and organized to fly this craft. Now, this craft is not just an advanced Piper Cub with a joystick. Joe and I were talking a little earlier about how computers and Starkid minds kind of meld in a sort of artificial intelligence environment and kind of cooperate together. Well, that Starcraft is somewhat analogous to that. It takes the unflustered, calm, focused, very highly attuned consciousness of a star person to meld with the artificial intelligence. In fact, it's beyond artificial intelligence. Star people tell me that the craft is semi-alive. It is so sentient and having many of the qualities of a living entity that to fly it, you have to kind of mind meld with that consciousness in a kind of harmonious partnership. To date, I mean, two months ago, Telesian started preparing to get this campaign going, and over the 2 months, he's managed to bring the Starcraft out from where it was hidden in a slightly altered dimension and get it sequestered safely where he can get at it. But to clear his mind so he can safely navigate yet over major cities around Earth is another matter. We've just learned lately that the Cabal have a orbiting one or more satellites that are prepared to train down on him, have been to an extent already, to addle his consciousness, and would do more so if he got airborne so that he couldn't maintain focus and we crashed. So we're trying to deal with that problem. It's just been one endless obstacle after another. But we hope we're wearing them down, and they're soon going to run out of their sack of tricks, and Talesian will finally get airborne, and we will have that flight campaign that will be the de facto end of the UFO cover-up.
Well, why won't a UFO cover-up? I mean, Richard, you really think, as a society, I'm talking about worldwide society now, not just Americans, if you really think that the planet's ready for full disclosure, because I don't know, I have issues with that. I feel like at least half of us are. I just don't know if the other half are.
Well, ready in the sense of mentally anticipating or having a mental category already well developed and polished, no, not everybody is ready in that sense of the word, but can they take it? Yes, just like when Columbus came back from the New World and told all the Europeans, guess what, there's another chunk of land over there as big as the one you're sitting on, and it's full of people too, and strange exotic foods and trees and vegetables and so forth. People had to, you know, slap themselves upside the head and, needless to say, readjust their geography books and their thinking. And they got over it, and in fact they soon started sailing over and populating this new world, which we now know is highly densely populated in North Central and South America. So, yes, people get past it, and they rise to take beneficial advantage of this new information and reality.
I don't know. They just make me nervous knowing some of these humans. Richard, I'm sorry. It does. I mean, I guess if it's a forced disclosure and we have to accept it. I'm not so much worried about most things. I'm just worried about some of the smaller countries and even some of the communist countries that it might just go overboard or something. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we got to take a break. So I want everyone to please stay tuned to Wake Up USA, a UFO study, a Stardust Radio production. Now being broadcasted live in SRN 1690, Riverside, Iowa. I'm your host, Joe Montalvo. I'm sitting and speaking with Dr. Richard Boylan. And as soon as we return, we'll start taking some more questions. So please stay tuned.
SRN
1690 AM Riverside, Iowa, and around the world on the Stardust Radio Network. www.stardustradio.com.
Are you looking for an internet radio station with a unique blend of talk radio and an eclectic musical flavor? Join Stardust Radio today at www.stardustradio.com, where talent and technology meet.
Have you always wanted to know the truth about things like UFOs, underground bases, Area 51, the Great Pyramid at Giza, and the Roswell incident of 1947? If so, look no further than Dennis Ballfaser's cutting-edge research. There's no woo-woo factor here, folks, just the facts as he researched them. Dennis's lectures are available on video and audio cassette. For more information and free access to Dennis's research, visit his website, www.truthseekeratroswell.com. That's truthseekeratroswell.com. The truth is here.
Quicken Loans knows when your mortgage payment is too big. It follows you everywhere.
Hey, guys, where are we going?
Hi, Big Mortgage.
Dad and I are going car shopping.
Not without me.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
A mortgage payment that's too big can drive every financial decision you make.
Scooch over, little man. The Big Mortgage is your dad's constant companion.
Dad, the Big Mortgage is squishing me.
I'd really like to get a bigger car.
The Big Mo says no.
Don't let your big mortgage payment push you around. Pick up the phone and let Quicken Loans show you how to lower your payment up to 33%. That's a third off your payment. Call 800-928-5199. Quicken Loans makes it fast and easy to say goodbye to your big mortgage payment.
You're not the boss of us.
R2.
R9.
R2. R9.
Am I going to have to separate you two?
Call Quicken Loans at 800-928-5199 today. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. Call Quicken Loans at 800-928-5199.
If you're one of the millions of Americans that suffers from acne or knows a friend or a loved one suffering, please turn up your radio and take down this life-changing information. Introducing Epiclear, the revolutionary new advanced skin treatment imported from Europe, formulated to help get rid of pimples and prevent further breakouts. Great for all ages and most skin irritations, Epiclear is doing something that no other acne treatment formula has ever done. Ever. We're so confident that Epiclear will clear up your skin that we're willing to let you try it for free. That's right. You heard free, and we mean free. Over a $70 value delivered without a prescription right to your house.
Call now while free supplies last at 1-800-656-5993. Nothing to risk and everything to gain. Call Epiclear at 1-800-656-5993. That was 1-800-656-5993. Limit one order per household, please. Call 1-800-656-5993. Shipping and handling not included.
Climate change could affect our way of life. Reduce your greenhouse gas emissions and help control climate change. Visit www.vcr-mvr.ca. Brought to you by the Voluntary Challenge and Registry, Climate Change Central, and this radio station.
SRN
1690 AM Riverside, Iowa, and around the world on the Stardust Radio Network. www.stardustradio.com.
Good evening and welcome back to Wake Up USA, a UFO study, a Stardust Radio production, now being broadcasted live in SRN 1690, Riverside, Iowa. I'm your host, Joe Montalba. I'm sitting and speaking with Dr. Richard Boylan. A couple of things we've been talking about, very interesting topic lines tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, if you have a question or comment, you can use the PowerTalk Virtual Auditorium, or you can reach us at 1-877-213-4329. Again, 1-877-213-4329. Or you can join us in the PowerTalk Virtual Auditorium, whichever way you'd like. Richard, you ready for some more questions?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, because I got them stacked up in the Virtual Auditorium, so we might as well get them in there. I'm going to get a bunch of nasty emails. Let's see what we got up next. TRMT-137, why don't you come up, give us your first name and location, and you're live and on the air with Dr. Richard Boylan.
Good evening, gentlemen. Truth from Massachusetts. Dr. Boylan, my questions relate to two of your website's essays, which focus on the enactment and results of a purported 1964 agreement with alleged star nations and four Earth governments. On the current development of a claimed new agreement initiative between these star nations and humanity at large. First question, Dr. Boylan, how can humans be sure that a claimed ongoing interface between these star nation beings and numerous humans through individual contact wouldn't present problems of telepathic manipulation by the UPUs? Second question, sir. The claimed star nation beings advocate acceptance by all Earth inhabitants of an awareness of Source. Sir, don't you think a universal creator would want Earth beings to discover their own path to the creator, which many have termed on Earth as the first cause? Those are your responses.
Did you catch all of that, Richard?
No. Sound quality is really terrible. I could hardly hear any of the...
Yeah, I was having a bit of trouble myself there. It was like it was breaking in or out or something. I tell you what, TRMT, let's try it one more time. Try turning up the mic a little bit or something. I don't know. I was just getting broken sound there, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, if we're going to answer the question, we need to hear it. Okay, you want to try? Okay, well, go ahead and do that. And I'll go ahead and take Joe from Florida next, and you can go ahead and call in. That way it'll probably be a little easier. So, Joe from Florida, why don't you come up and ask Dr. Boylan your question? You're live and on the air.
Good evening, Dr. Boylan. My question is this. You were speaking about star kids, and I'm wondering, the ETs must have a close relationship with humans in order for the DNA to be compatible. If that's the case, then there must be some sort of signature, some uniqueness in the DNA sequence of star kids. Could you explain or expand on that? Thank you.
Yeah, Richard.
Okay, well, yes. I suppose if we just kind of blue skied it, we say, gee, isn't that odd that there can be genetic compatibility between this race from the stars and humans? Well, yeah, that sounds like it would be a long shot on a just even statistical playing board, but the odds are stacked, and the reason the odds are stacked is this. Human race from the get-go is a artificially created, genetically created entity. The star visitors came to make things short and simple, about 325,000 years ago, and mixed some of their genetic material for intelligence and dexterity with the reproductive material of a highly, relatively highly evolved primate, way beyond Lucy and some of the anthropoid ancestors of humankind. And the combination of the two, lo and behold, became humans, Homo sapiens. This helps explain the missing link that has puzzled archaeologists for decades, and why they can't find anything in between these rather primitive, hunchy, thick-brained proto-humanoids and modern Homo sapiens, who seem to spring out of nowhere without any close relatives to explain the jump up in intelligence and development. Well, the answer is human race is a test tube baby, if you will. The star visitors didn't just stop with that. They watched how this early model human operated and gave it about 125,000 years, and then determined there's still too much violence, still too much territoriality, and so forth, that were distressing qualities, even though the race did show some intelligence and culture. So they came back and did another genetic modification, upgrade, if you will, and the resulting product is Homo sapiens sapiens, modern humankind, and for the last 125,000 years, as we follow in archaeology and other textbooks, humans have spread across the face of the earth and built technologically advanced cultures. But still, there's too much violence, territoriality, greed, and aggression. The star visitors were particularly appalled when humans use their intelligence to build things like nuclear weapons and annihilate whole cities, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, with in atomic fireballs. This is not the kind of advanced direction that they wanted humans to go, so they set forth to do one more modification in the recipe, and this is the star kids that are coming in now, who, as we described earlier in the program, are of an entirely different stripe and are not going to be engaged in conducting nuclear wars. In fact, you're going to be rather loath to get involved in any conventional wars. Are going to look for more peaceful, rational, intelligent solutions to problems rather than brute force attempted solutions. And hopefully that clarifies a bit about why it is not surprising that when the star visitors came by to do a little gene splicing and create star kids, that the basic product was compatible, because the basic product started out from the get-go being a combination of human, primate, and star visitor genes. So a little add-on would not face the problem of genetic incompatibility.
All right, so that's a lot of information in itself. I tell you what, though, I know we got Treese on the line from Mass. So, Treese, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, and please pardon me, gentlemen, for that prior problem with my mic. Dr. Boylan, my questions relate to two of your website's essays, which focus on the enactment and results of a purported 1964 agreement with alleged star nations and four Earth governments, and now the ongoing development of a claimed new agreement initiative between the alleged star nations and humanity at large. First question, Dr. Boylan, how can we humans be sure that a claimed ongoing interface between these alleged star nation beings and numerous humans through individual contact wouldn't present problems of telepathic manipulation by the ETs? And second question, I note in your material that these claimed star nation beings advocate the necessary acceptance by Earth inhabitants of their paradigm of awareness of source And, sir, I'm wondering if the universal creator wouldn't want Earth inhabitants to follow their own innate path in seeking the creator, or as some beings here, as some humans call him, the first cause. Thanks for your response.
Okay, Richard. All righty. That was clear. Thank you. Just to back up a little and give people who may not be aware of the citation she's referring to on my website, I spoke on the information I was given from Star Nations. Certainly your Earth governments didn't reveal this highly classified matter that they had made classified, not the Star Nations making it classified, that in 1964, the U.S., USSR, China, People's Republic of, and United Europe, European Council of Europe, met with representatives of the Star Nations to hammer out agreement to oversimplify what took place. There was basically an agreement. The Star Nations were tired of having their craft shot down by aggressive military of these great powers. And they said, we can't get our work done of interfacing with the people, communicating, waking them up, making them aware of us, and moving forward with advancing humans to Starkid level if you keep shooting it down. So we need to have a stop. And the four governments said, we'll stop shooting at you if you give us your scientific information and technology. And so that was a quid pro quo that Star Nations reluctantly agreed to, because otherwise they were getting too interfered with in their efforts to wake up humanity to its cosmic past and future. So as to question number one, backtrack once more real quick. The governments on Earth did not keep their side of the bargain. They continued to take selective pot shots at craft and deliberately in order to make them crash and steal their technology. And finally, Star Nations got tired of it and abrogated the agreement last year, having given way too long for the governments to get back in line and honor their agreement. And the Star Nations have decided instead to go to the people directly, a very kind of grassroots democracy approach this time, instead of these government heads who are pretty corrupt individuals anyway. You're talking about Nikita Khrushchev, Lyndon Johnson, the head of China at the time, the premier there, and the Council of Europe's representative. So they've decided to go on grassroots democracy directly to people, and have been contacting excuse me, let me get a sip of water here. been contacting humans around the world to get their 2 cents worth of what they would like to see in agreement between the people of Earth and the Star Nations. And they've been getting an earful from these humans, and are their way to put together a composite of what they've gotten, and we'll use that as the basis for a new agreement. So in that context, the questioner asks, given the ongoing effort by Star Nations to meet with humans and get some grassroots feeling from folks of what they'd like to see in agreement between humans and star people, she raises the question of, isn't there a risk of telepathic manipulation? Well, if the Star Nation people were unscrupulous, unethical, I suppose there would be that risk. But the Star Nations have a requirement. You can't be a member civilization of star nations unless you subscribe to the 11 universal laws and the 11 spiritual laws of the cosmos. And if people want to see what those 11 laws are, they can go on my website in the star visitor section, and there's, they're laid out there in one of the articles. Anyway, needless to say, these are very high principles of ethics and philosophy and morality, and no Star Nation race would operate in such an unethical way as to manipulate a fellow sentient being. The second question she had is, Star Nations, she says, would like humans to have awareness of Source. The implication of the way she phrased it is sort of like, or else, you know, or with a flavor of forcedness to it, and that again, it would be absolutely unethical, and Star Nations would be the first to disown any such approach. Persons coming to recognize God's supreme source, first cause, whatever, as an important and sacred element in reality and something that one needs to have a relationship with and awareness of a respect for, is a personal mental and spiritual journey that each sentient being and human individual in this case needs to make, and Star Nation is very aware of that. And there's nothing in any forthcoming agreement that's going to make any force on people to recognize God or Source as part of their life if people haven't arrived at that, you know, if theirs to arrive at. It will not be part of the agreement because no humans are going to put that in an agreement. Certainly, maybe if Star Nations were to interview a cabal person, they might like something like that in there so they could kind of use it as a poison pill to kill the agreement. But the average sensible human is not going to want to see anything in agreement that talks about forcing people to get religion whether they like it or not, or get spiritual awareness whether they're ready for it or not. And neither will the Star Nation. So I think that the answer to that question is that concern is not a reality.
You know, Richard, I'm listening to you talk, and I'm watching a text go by in the Virtual Auditorium as well. And Star Nations, now I know what you're talking about, and I'm sure anybody who's read your site or is familiar with your work knows what you're talking about. But for the listening audience who doesn't, can you explain that to them?
Okay. Star Nations is the designation for an organization of intelligent civilizations throughout the galaxy that have banded together and operate in a cooperative way. And you don't get to join them unless you subscribe to these 11 universal laws and 11 spiritual laws that I referred to. In other words, it's a high-minded organization of highly evolved intelligent civilizations. Put it in some kind of context, they say that Earth is about two ticks below the level of minimum qualifications to join Star Nations. We have some spiritual and metaphysical evolving left to do yet before we as a worldwide culture are ready to be offered membership. Now, that's not to say there aren't some humans who have arrived at that level of development, but Earth population as a whole has not arrived there yet. So we're talking a high-minded organization that, among its various works, goes about the galaxy and comes upon planets with evolving civilizations and tries to help them out to avoid crashing and burning, as far too many societies do. They don't make the right choices as a civilization. But they're sort of a galactic peace corps, and one of their ways of operating. So what on Star Trek used to be called the Federation is not exactly a model, because the Federation supposes there's some other Federation out there that they need to go and shoot at, and that isn't the case. Most of the societies that have bad people in them don't reach the level of development where they can cruise among the stars and star nations. By definition, of those societies that have evolved peaceably and intelligently and spiritually grown up enough to make it as star roaming civilizations and band together in this star nations organization.
You know, it kind of like a, well, I guess it would be like a UN in space, just more advanced. Because
No,
that's a bad comparison. I realized when I said it, Richard, that was a bad comparison.
The original intent of the UN would have been a good model. The way it currently is functioning is pretty sad.
Yeah. I agree. I realized it after I said it, because the UN is, well, we're not going to get into that, but the UN is kind of pathetic these days, and they don't seem to have any teeth left or anything. I told y'all, y'all should make Madeleine Albright UN president. We wouldn't have to worry about this, but anyway. That's crazy stuff. I don't know. The world is a very strange place these days, and it takes, well, a lot of patience to live here. That's as nice as I can say it on AM radio and still not get in trouble with the FCC. I don't know. It is a strange place to live these days. It's a much different world than what I grew up in. I'm sure, you know, anyone who's over about age 30 realizes that. For the younger people, I wasn't being mean. It's just y'all have merely been around long enough to see the real differences in how the planet is, or how society is. It's not that we're killing any more people or feeding any less people. It's just we're at that crossroads. What do you think, Dr. Boylan? We're just at that crossroads. I guess it's going to depend where our next step goes, to how long it's going to take before there is disclosure. And I'm really thinking we need a boost or something. You know, we need to get ET out there to give us a little boost. Say, look, you know, put something out there. It doesn't have to be, you know, a huge showing, just enough that the government can't back out of it. Because these days, even like with some of the more famous sightings, the government seems to, well, they just seem to ignore them. You notice that, Richard, they don't even seem to comment on them anymore. They just kind of ignore them. Even if you ask them directly, they just seem to ignore it. It seems to be like they know and they're content in knowing, and I guess they figure the rest of us don't need to know, which is, you know, it just, I don't know. In the United States, I think we should have been told a long time ago. I really do. And as far as the rest of the world needs to know. I really would make it a better place to live, at least in my mind it would. Don't get me wrong, I think there's going to be some chaos and some turmoil and some fights and some trouble in the initial saying this, but I think in the long run, it'll better the planet. In a much faster pace. What do you think, Richard?
Well, I'm not going to argue against ending the UFO cover-up, obviously. When you talk about a star person doing a little something to end the cover-up, that's exactly what Kalishin has as his mission, as a star person to take a starcraft and fly over several major world metropolises at low and slow enough pace to make it impossible for the UFO cover-up to continue. And the cascade of the dominoes after that will be very interesting. People think UFOs are a little boutique side oddity, like a P.T. Barnum sideshow at a circus, and you can have it or take it or leave it, but that isn't the case at all. The future of humanity is tied up with the fact that we are a people whose origins are in the stars and whose future is to be a space-faring, highly developed society. This isn't just some kind of Star Trek curiosity that might swim across our attention span for a year or two and then go away. That's not at all what's going on. And further, the ending of the cover-up is going to expose the people that have made trillions of dollars on monopolized and denied and covertly manipulated extraterrestrial technology, palmed off as clever human inventions, and patented, and I used to make money, and then some of the rest of the technology altered and weaponized by human low-life scientists in ways that allow these global puppeteers to threaten, intimidate, invade the minds of and the feelings and the perceptions of people and turn them inside out and make them see, believe, and hear whatever they want them to until they say uncle and salute and go along with their program. So once that power base is broken, which it will be when people realize they've been lied to and who've been doing the cover-up and that these people are criminals and all the crimes they've committed in the course of conducting this cover-up, all hell's going to break loose. I could say something else, but this is, as you so wisely observe, AM radio, and the FCC is full of people who salute to the cabal, so I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I can understand that. You know, I know we're getting close to break, but a quick question before we go to break. On the star member nations, like the Greys, reptilians, those humanoid types, light beings, are they all members or something like them members?
Yes, all the races people see in, during their encounters, praying mantis folk, very human-looking individuals, zetas, reptoid types, short dwarfs, even energy beings, and not all of them are flesh and blood. Some of them are little packages of light and energy that float around, but are consciousness and aware. All of these are members of star nations. There is a protective cordon around Earth, and if there were a rogue individual out there by some chance from one of these less developed planets that managed to get to the level of star flight, they wouldn't be allowed in. So anybody, by definition, people see who's a real, genuine star visitor is a member of Star Nations. Now, I make the point, real, genuine star visitor, because our nemesis, the Cabal, have used some of their advanced technology and their long history of black magic and other misuse of psychic arts for dark purposes to conjure up physical and mental and psychic imagery that make people see 3D solid-looking fake extraterrestrials in their bedroom or wherever.
Richard, I gotta stop you right there because we gotta go to break. So hold that thought for a second.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want everyone to please stay tuned to Wake Up USA, a UFO study, a Stardust radio production, now being broadcasted live in SRN 1690, Riverside, Iowa. I'm your host, Joe Montalvo. I'm sitting speaking with Dr. Richard Boylan, and we'll start taking some more questions when we return from the break, so please stay tuned.
This internet station sounds great on your computer, but wouldn't it be even better if you could take it with you wherever you go? Now you can. This station is proud to be affiliated with the Mobile Broadcast Network, brought to you exclusively by XS Voice. They make it possible for you to hear your favorite internet station anytime, anywhere, on your cell phone. To get connected, go to www.mymbn.com and listen to internet radio on the go.
What's happening? I'll tell you what. Kent Emmons here. How'd you like to spend a weekend in Branson for only $99? That's right. You and your family can now relax in Branson for only $99 or take the honey for a quick romantic getaway any weekend you choose. This amazing vacation offer includes 3 days, 2 nights in a great hotel, breakfast every morning of your stay, preferred show tickets, and hundreds of dollars in coupon savings all around town. You know, Branson, Missouri's got amusement parks, world-class golfing, beautiful lakes, endless shopping, and more live shows than Vegas. So give us a call now at 1-866-338-1410. Branson for $99. It's our way of saying thanks for checking out our beautiful new resort, the Grand Crown. Here's that number again, 1-866-338-1410. Toll free, 1-866-338-1410. Branson for $99.
What America needs is affordable health insurance.
Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-679-7794. That's 877-679-7794. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds, those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-679-7794. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
Alexa Parkin, your aviation destination.
You need something grand, something special, something unique. Look no further than the Alexis Park Inn of Iowa City. There you'll find 27 supersized suites of all varieties, most with jacuzzis. The Alexis Park Inn is an aviation-themed hotel where your continental breakfast is delivered right to your door because they're committed to your satisfaction. Give the Alexis Park Inn a call toll-free at 888-9-ALEXIS or check out alexisparkinn.com.
Alexis Park Inn. Your aviation destination, Alexis Park Inn.
Climate change could affect our way of life. Reduce your greenhouse gas emissions and help control climate change. Visit www.vcr-mvr.ca. Brought to you by the Voluntary Challenge and Registry, Climate Change Central, and this radio station.
SRN.
1690 AM, Riverside, Iowa, and around the world on the Stardust Radio Network. www.stardustradio.com.
Good evening and welcome back to Wake Up USA, a UFO study, a Stardust Radio production, now being broadcasted live in SRN 1690, Riverside, Iowa. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I hope everyone is enjoying the show. It's been very interesting so far. You know, there's a couple things I was talking with Dr. Boylan about earlier, like exopolitics, which I'm going to get into in a minute with him, but I see Linda's got her hand back up, and she's been patiently waiting, so I'm going to go ahead and grab this quick question, and then we're going to go back and talk about exopolitics. So, Linda Keeper, why don't you come up, give us your first name and location, and you're live and on air with Dr. Richard Boylan.
Thank you, Dr. Boylan. I need to go back to my last question only because I'm really interested. This Tellison that you speak with, I don't understand who he is. I know in some of your letters he's called the Source, but is he an alien or something else? And I'm interested in how did he pick you to communicate with? Was there something about the work you've done that he was interested in? And how does he communicate to you? Is this verbal or through thought transmissions? Just how does he communicate his thoughts to you?
Go ahead, Richard.
Okay, Taliesin Namor, that's his last name, star name, is a human being. He was born with the name of Mario Sasso, of Italian immigrant parents, and currently resides in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, a gentleman in his 40s. He also, as is true for other people on Earth, is a star being who incarnated in a human body, and over the course of time, star consciousness operates to the fore, and that's certainly the case with this campaign, this upcoming public demonstration flight campaign with the Starcraft. He became aware of me when I set forth to conduct the Star Kids, Star Seeds workshop in Vancouver, British Columbia, and decided to come to it. In fact, was told by his fellow star visitor guides that it would be a good idea for him to come to it, that he would learn some things there and meet some people that would be good for future upcoming events. And so it was. And so, you know, while I had some over 30 people at the workshop. He was one of them, and we had some discussions then. We had a very interesting sky watch that first night, where a Starcraft came in under cloaking and landed in the dusk in a kind of public park where we were gathered by ourselves, and a starbeam came out and came up to several individuals. So he was not the only star being that was paying attention to this workshop. Towards the end of the second day of the workshop, he did disclose that he was a star being incarnate as a human. And you may think this a bit surprising, but he isn't the first or the 20th or the 50th person to say that to me, so I wasn't, you know, rocked off my shoes by any means. We've kept up contact since, sometimes by phone, more often by internet messaging, and that has been evolving. For those who follow my message groups on Yahoo, are aware that what has unfolded is his gradually presenting the ideas and announcement that he's planning a flight campaign over large cities that will de facto end the UFO cover-up, and that's the set purpose of it, and he does so commissioned by Star Nations to achieve this result. And certainly worked with him on that. I've requested that of Star Nations some time back without knowing who they would select to do the chore, and when he stepped forward, that obviously is a welcome development.
You know, it's that was just strange. I got some kind of weird noise came across my headset while you were talking here, Dr. Boylan. That was strange. I don't know, a lot of weird things afoot these days. You know, certain subjects, and I don't know if you've been doing this a long time, and I know you do a lot of public speaking, and not to change the subject on you, but have you ever noticed that particular subjects, when you're speaking about them, like on radio or television or something like that, you seem to have weird, mysterious glitches? And the reason I'm asking is there's two or three subjects that I've noticed over the 3 years that I've been doing this on the radio that when they get up and running, we start having weird technical glitches. You know, we'll have months and months, never even see a technical glitch, and all of a sudden we'll get on like the alien agenda subject. Bam! I mean, you start having glitches, and not just us. You'll have people calling in telling us about their computers are going down and stuff. It is a weird thing. But I just had to ask you that because it popped in my mind while I was listening to you talk. So, I mean, have you run into any of that?
Well, of course, yes. And this includes live, not just on the radio. Live when I'm in an auditorium talking to people where the microphone suddenly doesn't work. The lights go dim or whatever. The projection machine, which was working fine when the technicians were testing it before I start, suddenly doesn't work. Probably the most striking example was, if you'll pardon my mentioning, a rival program on the Art Bell Show. When I was an interview guest, and they just cut power. He lost... went black for 20, 25 minutes, and this was, as you know, a prime weekend show listened to by maybe 500,000 people or more. And he said, when we finally got back on the air and they restored power, this has never happened before. Well, the cabal, no, they own the media in the United States and the other developed countries. They have the power to have their folks in there pulling switches and making stuff hard to hear or staticky or broken up or interrupted enough that people get bored and wander to some other channel or station to listen to. They have many subtle and not so subtle ways to interfere with the process of people learning the information they desperately need to get us out of the hole we're in that the UFO cover-up has put us in.
this, you know, it always comes back to this UFO cover-up. And when do you actually think they really started lying about it? Because I know just in the ancient histories, they mention star visitors and things like that, and they even seemed in countries like in Egypt, even like where the Dogon lived, the Aborigines, and even in some of the more moderns like the Greeks and Romans, they seemed to move much more freely amongst the population. And then all of a sudden, somewhere along the line, it seemed to have reverted. I mean, do you have any idea why?
Why the cover-up is...
But yeah, it seems. In other words, it seems like early on when this was going on that there wasn't a cover-up initially.
Oh, I remember before there was a UFO cover-up. You know, the cover-ups start. I mean, the classification of UFO presence and equipment started in 1941 when a UFO crashed off of San Diego and the Navy was dispatched to retrieve it. People think. You know, the ta-da moment was 6 years later in 1947 in Roswell, New Mexico, but that was old news to the military by then. But the Roswell story leaked out and then was covered up, but some of the newspapers that got the original wire service stories, because this was an official U.S. Army press release saying, Army captures saucer at Roswell, New Mexico. That went out over the AP wire services, and enterprising newspapers picked it up and ran big headlines, which you can see if you go back into the archives. The next day, of course, the powers that be, the cabal, and their minions in government decided, oh, no. And so they printed a retraction statement that it was a mistaken weather balloon debris. But... that was too late. But still, compared to today, the UFO cover-up was not all-encompassing the way it is now. People were sighting UFOs all over the country. There were clubs, saucer clubs, where people would sit out on the lawn after dinner and look for them. And when one got reported, it would be carried in the newspaper like any other newsworthy story. It wasn't until 1952 when the Star Nations decided to enough of this cover-up stuff and flew low over the U.S. Capitol night after night in July. That made the papers again, too. And this time there were photos, you know, these formation lights, these disc craft flying over the U.S. Capitol made a wonderful photo. Right after that, the government convened the Robertson panel report, and they, of course, were a lapdog doing what they were told, and they came up with the conclusion that this represents a national security risk and we must have a cover-up. And the government went into cover-up mode, and they went in with a vengeance. They got their psychological warfare people that used to do anti-Nazi and anti-Japanese propaganda, and they trained it on the American civilian population so that if you reported a saucer, you were a nut. They, you know, gratuitously referred to propeller beanies on people's heads and suggested they were crazy and that maybe they should be closely examined by the doctor and committed. And people didn't take long to get the recipe that this was a no-no subject, and if you wanted to lose your job, wanted to lose your standing in the community, wanted to be seen as un-American and somebody the government would have on a watch list, just keep talking about this. So the population went into deep cover, and of course, after a generation of this, people didn't know any better, and we're into the current situation where UFOs are a laughingstock topic, and what's for dinner? But that wasn't the way it was in the beginning. Some of us who have been around a few decades can remember when there was no UFO cover-up in public society. So they can't fool us. And I'll tell you, it was a much healthier society then. If they hadn't choked it off, we would all be a cosmically aware society today.
Yeah, that would be, you know, and I've talked about that on many occasions, if things would have been different further back, how much more different our society would be today, including even on technology levels. You know, we were discussing this not too long ago, and the thing about it is that they had done a survey, it was about a year ago, on religion. And what would have happened if, say, 500 years ago, we would have had a much different stance on religion when Galileo and Leonardo and all of them were alive, the technology today would be much further along than what it is. They actually estimate 400 to 500 years more advanced than what we are today. And, of course, when you're talking about those kind of advancements, you really have to be talking about spiritual and actually several different types of advancements just to reach that technologically advanced society, because really you kind of keep balance between, I hate to say spiritual because it's probably not the correct word, but you really need to keep a balance between technology and, let's say, what's important. And I think if we can do that, we'd be all right. But, yeah, that's what they say, that because of religion, directly or indirectly, has set us back at least 500 years. And then when you start throwing in governments on top of that, keeping secrets about alien visitors, that's setting us back even more. I feel like this. If the aliens can come here and visit people, they feel comfortable enough with the people that they're visiting to let them know who they are. So, you know, it's really not the aliens so much holding back as it is the government. I know that if the extraterrestrials really wanted to, they could just land in several different places and make a big public display. And a lot of people ask me why they don't, but I really think it has to be really up to us. What do you think, Dr. Boylan?
I've talked to them about our nation, some of the representatives on their council, and they're very polite and considerate. They don't want culture shock. They've been hounding our governments to get the people prepared, you know, let them know in a gradual and organized and sensible way about the reality of all this. And the governments have done, as you're well aware, absolutely nothing. And therefore, we have the status quo.
Wow, that is just weird.
Are you seeing a delayed...
What happened there? How did he get up?
I have no idea. Go back to you. No idea.
That was weird. Sorry, guys. I don't know what happened. Hey, Josh, what happened?
Your tax dollars at work.
That was just weird. That was weird. Okay, I got you. I see what happened. All right. That was strange. Okay, guys. You know, just because I brought that subject up with Dr. Boylan a few minutes ago, somebody had to prove a point. Okay, that was...
He did Exhibit A, they just gave it to you.
I guess they wanted to get the point across for us, and Dr. Boylan.
Yeah, that's very kind of them. I appreciate that a whole bunch.
I know. I know we're getting kind of short on time, and I kind of wanted to just touch a little bit on exopolitics with you, because we had touched about it earlier. And you had made a point about Dr. Sala and Alfred Weber. Do me a favor, for the audience, explain the differences between these two, because I know everyone thinks exopolitics is all exopolitics, but that's not really true, is it?
Well, it's not as straightforward as it might sound like. Exopolitics, the word, is a made-up word, but a very legitimately made-up word, for politics, the politics of dealing with outer space reality, and particularly populated outer space reality. And the fact that outer space populations have made contact with Earth, and how we ought to deal with that. It's a legitimate political question, just like when the ambassador of some Pacific island shows up with his hat in his hand in Washington and says, I'm the ambassador from XYZ, here are my credentials, I'd like to talk to you about establishing diplomatic relations. A perfectly legitimate process. Exopolitics is pursued in that rational, legal, precedent kind of a way by a gentleman who I know, and I think we consider each other friends, Alfred Weber, a Canadian lawyer and philosopher who I believe coined the word exopolitics and maintains a whole campaign of political development of policy about how countries should and the peoples of Earth should relate to the civilizations from the stars that are reaching out to make contact. Some of his effort has included getting the former defense minister of Canada to go public and on the record that he knows UFOs are real and that it was covered up by his government and the U.S. government when he was Secretary of Defense, if you will, using the U.S. term, for Canada. All a very honorable and forward-thinking enterprise that people should get behind. Dr. Michael Sala, a former university professor who's been around a number of places and jobs, has taken the term and appropriated it for his work in publishing his point of view. Now, Sala is not without some academic background in international relations, and I believe that is what his degree is in. However, the point of view he takes is highly propagandistic. It is pure cabal propaganda that there are evil aliens out there and we need to hunker down and prepare for that harsh reality and not welcome the overtures because they could be Trojan horse maneuvers. So this kind of dark, conspiratorial, hostile propagandistic approach marks Sala's approach to interstellar relations, and it couldn't be more in contrast to Mr. Alfred Weber's kind of high road approach to exopolitics. So you have a stark contrast there, and when the term is thrown around, I guess we sophisticated folks have to ask, who's exopolitics? The exopolitics, as I think rather brilliantly laid out by Alfred Weber, or the propaganda exopolitics of Michael Sala?
Yeah, I was having a hard time with some of it because some of the things I had heard him say, and it was just one of those things that was bothering me. That's why I wanted you to kind of just let him know, because they're actually quite a bit different. I don't know, I got aggravated because when I was reading through the charter, it was reading to me, and I'm talking about Michael Sala actually, it was reading to me like that the planet wasn't being visited now. That it was...
it's a kind of what if.
Yeah, what if. You know, that's more along the lines. In other words, if they come to visit us, this is what we should do and this is how we should do it. So he's basically saying they're not visiting the planet, as far as I'm concerned.
So in that document, he's saying that, but trouble with Sala is he speaks out of all sides of his mouth, sometimes almost simultaneously. He and other written pieces of his has acknowledged that star visitors have been in contact with Earth. So, you know, there's not a consistency there. It's sort of like the propaganda theme of the day is what you get.
And that's in itself, I don't know. I'm going to try to leave it alone because I hate saying anything bad. I don't want to be one of them guys who rag on other ufologists, but I was just having some issues there with that. You know, I work really hard so that people understand that this planet is being visited, and we need to really press for disclosure, and we really need to press for actually quite a few things in dealing with this, including trying to help these people out who are having contact. But when people come along and they start, it just confuses the public. You know, I had talked to Dr. Greer about this a while back, and, you know, I said we need to have a united front as ufologists. I said, I know we don't all agree on why ET's here and what ET is doing. I said, but we do all agree that the planet's being visited, and it needs to be presented that way coherently. I mean, everyone in the community needs to sign off and say, yes, we do think that the planet is being visited and people are being abducted. And as far as the rest of it goes, that will work itself out in the wash. But at least we have a firm foundation to stand on. And right now, you just don't have that. You know, I do a lot of interviews at the conferences, not just with ufologists, but with just people who are attending. And, you know, the biggest complaint I get is, first off, they say there's too much infighting, in-house fighting in ufology, and that we don't present ourselves as a coherent group. You know, that we don't agree on anything. Well, that's not really true. We really do agree the planet's being visited. We just, for some reason, it's not being presented to the general public that way. And it is that's something I've been pushing for for a long
time. Are being spent on disinformation and hostile propaganda to keep the UFO community divided. And
yeah, that's true, too. It is. You know, though, I know, Dr. Bowen, we're getting low on time, so tell them where they can find you. Tell them where your site is again. Any place you're going to be soon, let them know so they know where to find you at.
Alrighty. My website's www.drboylan.com, drboylan.com. Down at the bottom of that, you find out how you can get on my mailing list. We're going to have a Star Kids, Star Seeds workshop in Nashville, September 29th and 30th. You'll see on the website information about that and how to register for that. Where it will be. I want to take this opportunity to thank Joe and Linda for an opportunity to speak here before you all and share this important information and hear your questions and concerns. This is Topic A, as I say on my website, the single most important unreported story in the history of humankind.
I agree. I absolutely 100% agree on that statement. It is probably the most important thing probably ever. It really is. Ladies and gentlemen, too, if you have trouble following Dr. Bowen, you can find him both on the iCar website and on the Stardust website. It's really easy to find. Just click the link and go. All the information's there. You can click your way right off the pages. They're all click-friendly. You know, we try to make everything click-friendly. Again, Dr. Bowen, I want to tell you thank you for coming on tonight. You did a great job. You're always a great guest. Ladies and gentlemen, next week, Yvonne Smith will be coming on business. We'll be talking pretty much about abductions, contacts, things like that. You know, we've been trying to stay pretty much contact-orientated here lately because there seem to be a lot going on and a lot of people pushing, or actually I should say there's a real thirst for knowledge these days, especially amongst star children and contactees. They seem to be almost like sponges. And for the ones of us out there working, this is what we need to be doing. That's what we're here for, to help them out, to help them understand, and help them move on. But anyway, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell everyone thank you for tuning in to Wake Up USA, a UFO study, a Stardust radio production, now being broadcasted live in SRN 1690, Riverside, Iowa. I'm your host, Joe Montaldo, and again, I want to thank you for tuning in, and I'll see everybody next week. Good evening.
If you would like to continue this discussion after the show, join us in iCar's Pal Talk chat room, UFO, Alien Phenomenon, under the Social Issues category.
This internet station sounds great on your computer, but you don't want to sit around on your butt all day. You're on the move, and you need your music. This station is linked with a mobile broadcast network, which makes it possible for you to hear your favorite internet broadcasts live on your cell phone, anytime, anywhere. Get connected. Go to www.mymbn.com. The mobile broadcast network is brought to you exclusively by Access Voice.
Climate change could affect our way of life. Reduce your greenhouse gas emissions and help control climate change. Visit www.vcr-mvr.ca. Brought to you by the Voluntary Challenge and Registry, Climate Change Central, and this radio station.
We're here today with Paul Dow of Timeshares Only. And Paul, you've got some terrific news for timeshare owners.
That's right. In the next 6 months, over $3.5 billion of timeshares will be sold.
So this is the perfect time to sell.
Exactly, which is why you need to get your property into our network, and if you call us right now, you'll also get a $500 shopping spree absolutely free.
$500 free?
Yes, just for posting your property with Timeshares Only. And when you do sell your property, you'll get cash. It's a double bonus. You can't lose.
Except if I don't call.
Hey, over 10 million people will be looking to buy a timeshare. So we need your property now.
The number to call now is 1-800-921-0866. That's 1-800-921-0866. Turn your timeshare into cash and get a free $500 shopping spree.
And if our lines are busy, please keep calling.
That number again for timeshares only is 1-800-921-0866. That's 1-800-921-0866.
SRN.
1690 AM Riverside, Iowa, and around the world on the Stardust Radio Network. www.stardustradio.com.
You're listening to the Stardust Radio Network, where talent and technology meet.